welcome those applicants, members of the public that are here with us. We welcome Melanie back, oh, there she is. Glad that she's on the mend. And we'll begin with invocation by Andrew.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day, grateful for the blessings we have. We're grateful for this beautiful fall weather and all that we're blessed with here in this area. We're pray at this time that we can have guidance in making decisions collectively as a group representing our city, and that your spirit will attend us to return safely once complete. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item on our agenda is to review and possibly approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes from our last meeting, August 13th, 2024. Anybody have any comments on the minutes?
Okay.
Make a motion that we accept the Planning Commission meeting minutes of August 13th, 2024 as printed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries, and we're on to item two. John Ace Money, representative for Pine Canyon Development LLC, has submitted a preliminary application for a large-scale subdivision to be known as Pine Canyon Development.
That name has been updated to Castell Court.
Okay, Castell, not Castle. Okay, Castell Court. The preliminary plan includes seven lots on 4.62 acres. The property is in the R115 zone and the R122 zone at approximately 800 Pine Canyon Road. Michael?
All right, thank you. We've received an application for a large-scale subdivision. Property is just over 4.5 acres in size, and it is dissected by two separate zones, the R115 zone, which is a third-acre zone, and the R122 zone, which is a half-acre zone. So approximately 1.6 acres are in the R115 zone, and 3 acres are in the R122 zone. And when you look at the breakdown of the lots, basically two of the lots are completely in the R115, which means the setbacks and the area, frontage, and width requirements are all different than the other lots in the R122 zone. And there is one lot that's dissected by both zones. Setbacks, which we want to indicate on the plat, would be for the R122 zone, which is more restricted. So it'd have the more restricted of the two zoning ordinances for that one particular lot. So there's 3.53 acres within the lots themselves, which leaves 1.12 acres of right-of-way that will be dedicated to Midway for city maintenance. So here's an aerial photograph of the property. You can see Main Street down here in the lower center of the map. 200 North is right here, and then Pine Canyon Road and Bergie Lane is just north of the property. As we zoom in for a neighborhood view, you can see the property outlined in yellow. And if you remember, we have the LaBarge subdivision went through the Planning Commission. Oh, it's actually been a few years now. That is under development right now just to the south. There's been a cul-de-sac that's been paved just recently. So this property, a lot of people have known it as kind of the ARC property because there's a boat on the property and it's been there for a long time. And so that's it. Has the boat gone?
It is gone.
Did we have a flood? Did it flood? So this is the property, and that boat was almost right on the boundary line, the very southern boundary line of the property. There's actually a little bit of a rise on the property. It's lower on the south end than rises up. And as you can see, kind of a closer view of this. Property's been used for a number of different things. One has been kind of a tree nursery. There's been quite a few trees planted around the perimeter, but there's also been trees planted in the middle of it. Also, there's been quite a bit of dirt that's been deposited on site, so Here's a copy of our zoning map, and you can see where the R115 zone is, and then most of the property, about 3 acres, is in the R122 zone. And this does not show very well at all, but there are contours on this map. And again, the dirt that's been deposited on site is kind of an interesting point of discussion, so I've got some photos and we'll talk about that. Here's the layout of the site plan, and so you can see the intersection of the proposed road coming in off of Pine Canyon Road. We have a 100-foot setback off of Pine Canyon Road for large-scale developments, much like Huntley Woods across the street, for instance. And so this first lot, which is in the R115 zone, would have the 100-foot setback. There's a storm drain system here next to Pine Canyon Road, and so the buildable area is right in here. And then we have another R115 or third-acre lot on the north side. It's difficult to see, but right here is a half-acre lot that's dissected by the two zones, R115 and R122. And again, all the regulations for setbacks would be based off the R122 zone since it's dissected by both. And then we have another half-acre lot to the north, another one just above kind of the cul-de-sac, one on the very end, and one on the south. Kind of a closer view of that there. So natural grade for determining height of future structures. This has been an issue of interest for neighbors since dirt started being deposited on site. The worry from neighbors would be that the new grade, which would be kind of an existing grade, would be the starting point for measuring height, which isn't the case per our code. Our code is based off natural grade. So I've discussed this with the developers that we really need to determine what that natural grade was. And it's a little bit tricky to figure that out. A lot of the contour maps that are out there are 20-foot contour maps, which on a kind of a flat property doesn't give us any detailed information. The thought has been possibly to do some test pits on the property to try to determine natural grade. And so that may be the way that we end up doing that. I think that needs to be discussed further with the applicants. But just to give you a little bit of a history, for instance, here's a 2010 aerial photograph of the property. Then you can see one from 2015. And all these little hills are just, they're basically dump truck loads of dirt that have been deposited on site. Then in 2016, a lot of that gets spread out along with other piles of dirt. And then it's hard to see, but there's other piles of dirt that are being deposited. And so this went on for quite some time, really affecting what that natural grade, really hiding the natural grade is what I should say, and creating a new existing grade. And this is one of our more recent photos. And so you can see even the vegetation has grown back in on those areas that have been deposited on. So it almost looks natural, but it's really not the natural grade. And again, some of the surrounding neighbors are worried that homes will be taller because of all of this dirt that's been deposited on site. But that, again, for our code, has to be off natural grade. So 5 feet of dirt making up these numbers were deposited in this area, that would mean the home could only be 30 feet high from that point, not 35, because the natural grade is only 5 feet lower. So that's really the key. And it looks like most of the dirt was kind of dumped over here on the end or kind of down in this area to the south. So those are kind of the key spots we need to worry about. And what we would like to do is we can determine that natural grade, actually put something on the plat so any future lot owner would know that is the starting point for measuring height. And so it's well known for anybody who buys the lot. So that's one of the issues that we've dealt with. Building the envelopes and setbacks.
Question then, Michael. So when these lots record, is it possible to say lot number one, average elevation was 5301, and you know what I mean, and actually set an elevation level for that lot?
I think the three lots where it looks like dirt has been deposited, these three, we might have to do something along those lines. I think these other ones, it's pretty easy to see what natural grade was, but those other three, we've got to come up with a way to handle, and that could be the way to do it.
Just set up an average where it says, on average, this lot was around blank elevation, and that's what we're going to assume is natural grade for the whole lot, instead of trying to figure out the undulation and things?
Completely accurate maps will grade the entire lot. It's going to be points, and then we'll have to make a determination based off those points.
Yeah.
Probably an average, like you're saying.
Okay.
Building envelopes and setbacks. Usually we haven't included building envelopes on plats, and that basically shows somebody where the dwelling would be located, not in the accessory buildings. But in this case, where we've got complicated setbacks, and there's a couple of reasons for this. One is we've got different zones with different setbacks in one development. And two, there is an exception in the R122 zone for lots that are very wide and shallow. And we ran into this in a couple of different subdivisions around town. One, for instance, is Sunflower off 600 North. They're very wide and shallow lots. There was the Springer subdivision on 200 East. It's just a one-lot subdivision, falls in this category. But basically, we give somebody the ability to have a 45-foot depth home, and they get an exception from the 40-foot rear setback. But there can't be any less than 30 feet on the rear setback. And so with that exception, it creates an interesting scenario where it's kind of difficult for somebody to be able to figure out exactly what their setbacks are. So we want to show it directly on the plat, so there's really not a question in the future on where the home could be located. Accessory buildings have different setbacks completely from dwellings, so it would be very clear on the plat, the building pad is only for dwellings and not for accessory buildings. As long as accessory buildings could meet the setbacks, they'd be allowed outside that building pad. Double-fronted lot. Forward. We do have, this is an easy thing to fix, but in our code, you can't have a lot that's fronted sandwiched between two right-of-ways, basically. And there's a lot in the Swiss Farm subdivision that basically touches the right-of-way on its frontage, and then also here. So this needs to be, the cul-de-sac needs to be pulled slightly away from that lot line to meet the code. It's a pretty easy adjustment, and I talked to the applicant's engineer about doing this, so that's an easy fix. And then one of the other issues is a couple more issues, bike lane construction or contribution. So we do have a bike lane planned along Pine Canyon Road, and really the developer has an option of either putting in that bike lane or contributing funds towards our future trail on Pine Canyon Road, which hopefully is coming soon. We need to finish the North Center Street trail first, and then we're going to move on to Pine Canyon Road. But other developments like Huntley Woods, they put money into a fund, kind of our general trails fund, to help build the bike lanes all at once. If we just have little sections of them built, it's kind of awkward to have 100 feet of bike lane and then it disappear. So the idea is, at one time, we'll use impact fee money and money from the developers to be able to build that all at once.
Which side of Pine Canyon is the trail going to be on?
So the idea with bike lanes is we would probably put it on both sides.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's a lot of detail that needs to be worked out. We have a limited right-of-way up and down Pine Canyon Road, but initially our thought is to try to do both sides, extend the pavement out. We prefer detached trails whenever possible, but Pine Canyon is so tight that it's pretty unlikely we're going to be able to do a detached trail the entire length. We do have a couple of sections with detached already in front of Midway Village, for instance, and Huntley Woods, but that's probably going to be the rare section. And we might end up doing a bike lane parallel that detached trail with this new improvement instead of coming in and out. We ran into that on 6 North, where in front of Raymond Farms we had a detached trail. And so the bike lane became detached and then became a bike lane again. And in the end, we ended up just adding that bike lane section also. So it's probably better to just have a continuous bike lane all the way up and down the road.
How do you determine what the contribution is if they choose not to put the trail in? Is it the estimated cost of doing that section, or?
Yeah, that's correct. So Wes has looked at that already, and we have a proposed number. I'm not sure if the developers have looked at that number yet. I think you saw the staff report. And so, and I'll go over that in just a second, but, you know, they could dispute that number,